Well, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, starting at verse 2. Mark 9, starting at 2. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There, he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and a voice came from the cloud, "This is my son whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. They kept the matter to themselves, discussing what rising from the dead meant. Then they asked him, "Why do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first?" Jesus replied, "To be sure, Elijah does come first and restores all things. Why then is it written that the Son of Man must suffer much and be rejected? But I tell you, Elijah has come, and they have done to him everything they wished, just as it is written about him." So this event has come into this transfiguration, comes on the heels of Jesus' difficult teaching. And we spent last week just looking at the depth, the gravity, what Jesus calls us to when he says, "Follow me." And how resistant we are in ourselves to want to follow that path. Our culture, the place we live in, United States of America, 2023, is a very now-focused culture. Right? Our whole economy is based on now. Buy something now. You deserve to have this now. You are entitled to this now. And that's the way we live. The average American has over $5,000 in credit card debt at any time. Because we want it now. And yet, if we do want to think about, you know, another way of doing things, if people all of a sudden just decided to stop spending their money on stuff and saving it, you know, well, our economy would suffer. You know, so we're trapped in some ways. And a lot of this is driven by this idea of, what do I do to be happy? Right? I want to be happy. We all want to be happy. What do I have to do to be happy? And the world will tell you how to be happy. Get what you want. Buy the things you like. Chase after relationships that are better for you. And if one doesn't work, then fine. Because you're not happy. You're supposed to be happy. Go with something else. Keep on filling that hole and eventually you'll be happy. And more people do it, the more and more they realize that hole is never filled. What would happen if we decide to live frugally or save some money or actually rest, actually just think about comfort in the small ways that we can? Well, today, when Jesus last week called us to this path of the cross, now you put that before anyone like, "Hey, here's the way to go, guys. This is it, right? Follow Jesus." And what that means is to suffer, be persecuted, be mocked, and probably die. Let's go. What is there for people to say, oh yeah, yes, that sounds great. Now we might throw in, oh, you know, you're not going to burn in hell. Okay. But that's not what Jesus does. And I think as the disciples are just weighing this out, Jesus doesn't leave them hanging. And we have this today. Today's scripture shows us the future, the hope, that yes, this path is a hard one, but it's worth it. That is what we're seeing here today. And so as I divide up this, I'm not going to get to everything, but I want to see that we see an open invitation, a divine invitation. We see the glory of Jesus. We see the presence of Moses and Elijah and what that means. We see Peter's, again, unclear response. And God's voice in that. And we'll try to take away a couple of lessons of what we can see today. All right? But I'll say up front, just to give you a hook, I believe what this is telling us, that the path to happiness and glory and eternal pleasure and comfort in Christ is the path of the cross. And that's where it goes. So we start off with a divine invitation. After 6 days, after these hard teachings, Jesus invited these particular three to go with him to see something. Jesus, knowing their hearts, knowing their doubts, knowing the struggle that these revelations are giving them, right? As they are slowly starting to see a little bit more clearly what Jesus is talking about. And finally, maybe not liking it so much. He said back in chapter 8, verse 34, take up your cross and follow me. Take up the symbol of shame. Take up the symbol of suffering. Take up this symbol of subjugation and defeat. Take that up and follow me in that. Suffering, self-denial, death. Woohoo. Who would take that up? Why take that up? I mean, that's the path? And so Jesus, God, an invitation to see a little bit, to understand, yes, yes, this is the path, and it is a glorious one. Jesus has a desire to bring us close. He wants us to know him, to talk with him, to be friends with him in ways that we can't even fathom. That's his desire. That's his end goal. That's his desire even now. And so in that invitation to express, he invites him to a glimpse of his radiant glory. I can't imagine what it's like. These words, to my mind, just fall short of what in the world is going on here. They're there, and all of a sudden, Jesus is glowing. Like a supernova, brighter than anything ever seen, beyond white, white that's beyond white. And it has these Old Testament echoes. Turn back to Daniel chapter 7. So we see this revelation of God's glory. Ezekiel, there it is, Daniel, right after Ezekiel. So Daniel chapter 7, in verse 9, we see this. And remember, these are the scriptures that are going to be echoing in these men's mind, right? So Daniel tells us, and I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat, his clothing was white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. That's the picture. That's what's echoing in their heads. So they think Jesus there. They're going, whoa. Whoa. This is what they're seeing. Or look forward to Revelation chapter 1. We have a similar vision that John has. Starting in verse 12 of chapter 1. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet like bronze, glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun, shining in all its brilliance. You can imagine then, again, looking at Jesus now in this scene. And that's what's rising up out of these John and James and Peter. When they see this, this is what comes to mind. This is God in his glory. This is everything they'd hoped for. This was the Messiah that they were thinking about. God Almighty, King, Conqueror, Ruler. And it's here. And in that same thing, there's this the introduction of Moses and Elijah. And that's an interesting thing, isn't it? One, like, how'd they know? They got name tags? You know, or just... But they knew it was them. Moses and Elijah, chatting with Jesus. How you doing? Good to see you. What is going on here? Now, again, I think we have to really hang on to our Old Testament, our scriptural echoes here, the basis things. Think about what's happening here. Interestingly enough, all right, we've seen in Mark the pace of his gospel, right? Immediately, now, going here, there, boom, boom, boom. There's no real distinction of days or how many days or, you know, times. Things are kind of jumbled sometimes, except for here. In 6 days. He went up on a mountain. Now, we all can hear something here, can't you, right? Who went up a mountain? Moses went up a mountain. And interesting to know, it was after 6 days. He had 6 days that he's preparing. And then, after that 6 days, he went up a mountain with three named people and 70 elders. Interesting, isn't it? In this mountaintop experience, Jesus was transfigured, made white. When Moses came off the mountain, his face was so bright that they put a veil on him because they couldn't look at it. God appears in a cloud to Jesus and the disciples, and God appeared in a cloud on the mountain. A voice came out, and we'll see next week that when they came down, people were astounded. They're amazed at what they saw. So we cannot help but see this parallel. And so this parallel helps us to understand what's going on here. This connection of Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets. Moses, Elijah, Jesus. God's appearance in a cloud and Jesus. And what does it tell us? In a Jewish thinking, even when Moses went up the mountain, it was a picture of enthronement of God's kingdom. And that was, right? That was God's kingdom being established with this nation of Israel. And so that is what's being communicated. I mean, all that is just, I imagine, again, just flooding Peter, James, and John and overwhelming them, which kind of explains their reaction a bit too, I think. There is this, just a glimpse of the glory and the hope of the Messiah. This is what's coming. This is the future. The question, but was the one of how and of when. And that is where the disciples were getting a little bit mixed up. The how and the when. But Jesus wanted to encourage them. Wanted to understand that, yes, you're on the right track. And this is to come. But we see again in Peter's response then. His desire in his confusion again, in being overwhelmed in his fears, to want to hold on to a moment. Oh, this is great. Yeah. Let's do this. We'll put up some huts for you guys. We could charge admission, you know, have people come up and see, you know, whatever. I can just imagine just going, oh, Peter. You gotta get a little more spit in the eyes, buddy. We'll get there. You want to hold on to now. He was excited of this vision, Jesus, and I think was forgetting about that other path. And so, God the Father steps in and blows them away. Think about what's being said here. First, this is my son. This glorious image you're seeing before you is my son. This is Jesus, the Lord of the universe, the creator by his word. Yes, you're following him to a cross. But make no mistake on who this man really is. Understand who he is. And then understand that when you get that, figure out the path he's showing you. If he is taking this path, who are you? This is when we can finally start understanding. Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus is God. And it's glorious. And if we can grab that, we can understand it's a foundation of our faith that is strong. If the storms of life batter us, we can hang on to that. And that's what Jesus asked him to do. Hang on. Know who this is. And then the second part. Listen to him. Right? Understand. They had this glorious vision. And their desire to the kingdom of God to come in this way. But what has Jesus said consistently all along? That is not the way. This is the way. The path of the cross is the way. And this is the future. Listen to him. Don't rebuke him, Peter. Get in line. Follow him. It's astounding. We live in a world, I think, and I think even in our general understanding of religion or Christianity in our country, I think a lot of it falls into a fancy concept that guy wrote a book about. It's called Moralistic Therapeutic Deism. And what that means is, when we look to God, he's either like a set of rules that we can follow, that way we can kind of know who's who. Or it's therapy. Make us feel good about ourselves and what's going on. And deism is simply the idea of God, that he exists, he created everything, but he's distant, far off. Several of our founding fathers had that bent, that, you know, God was the clockmaker, and he wound it up and let it go, and then he just watches. And that is not what we're seeing here. That is not the God who appears in a cloud and speaks. God desires a dynamic invitation to be with him. And Jesus is showing us that, right? Jesus is showing that I'm God, I'm God's son. And I'm going to touch you. I'm going to be friends with you. I'm going to feed you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to be with you. And so Peter and these disciples, understand this. Listen. And follow Jesus on this path to the cross. As we continued on then, as they were trying to figure out what was going on, what do we take away here? Again, first, and I'll mention again that we just did, but understand that Jesus is God. He is the Messiah. He is this glorious ruler of all. An anchor, someone we can trust, inviting you to join him. He is all of that and more. We are reminded here, as Peter, James, John were, to listen. Very simple, listen. In the call for us, Trinity Evangelical Free Church, to follow him. In that call, we are to examine our lives and reject the ways of the world. Reject the temptation to power or worldly influence. To embrace what we've seen the example of Jesus has shown over and over again, of compassion. When he sees poor, he gives. When he sees hungry, he feeds. When he sees sick, he heals. Forgiveness, restoration, repentance, self-denial, seeing others as more than yourselves. This is the way. Listen. Listen to these things. In our temptation, we respond, I think, so much in our world today like Peter does. Right? We can be fearful. We see the current events or just situations in our families. I mean, be fearful. And that's not the way. We can stand on the rock that Jesus is God and he will take care of us. And this way is the best way. In our world, people, Christians, are saying sometimes, I've heard it, you know, turning their cheek is great and all, but it really doesn't work, right? We live in a time where maybe we need to just kind of step up for a little while, and once we can kind of get things turned around, then we can go back to turning the other cheek. No. God of the cloud, listen to Jesus. Turn the other cheek. Love your enemy. Can you imagine the transformation in our culture? If people just, in just a smidgen of a moment of deciding to love their enemy, what that would do? How would that affect our Congress if people decided to love their enemy? And not love like, you know, I'll tolerate you. We've talked about this before. Love means sacrifice. Love means wanting the best for them, even at the expense of me. That's love. What if that happened? How would our marriages be transformed, our families built up, if we loved in that way? If we rejected this worldly idea of happiness, which is self-fulfillment and gaining possessions, and instead saw it in terms of community and love and giving to each other. That is what's going on when Jesus says, listen, follow. And lastly, again, I believe as I see this transfiguration, this brief moment of revealing that Jesus gifted these men, it's a call to hope. It's a call to hope. I will take advantage of the situation here and take a look at Romans chapter 8, verse 22. Apostle Paul says this. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. The path of the cross. For in this hope we are saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. That's it right there, isn't it? That is exactly what we're talking about here. In this path, this journey that we are on, as strangers in this world, we live a path of hope. We groan. We suffer. We struggle. And frankly, that's just normal. That's the way things are. But we won't do it in frustration. And if there's no end in sight, and we suffer in that, why wouldn't you just do whatever you could to numb the pain or give yourself what you want to now. Of course you would. But that is not the way we live. We live in hope. Great hope. The best hope. The everything hope. And that is what we want to present to this world. How attractive would that be? When we say, come along and follow Jesus, and they say, why? You say, oh, let me tell you. It's great. Because everybody has what they need. Right? And if you're suffering or hurting, we're all there to be alongside you and help you through it. And if there's problems, we work together to make it right. That's what we do. Because that's the kingdom of God. They go, really? Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And they, oh, what do I got to do? Is there like a entry fee or something like that? No. You just come along. Check it out. If you have doubts, that's okay. Try it for a bit. You know, we can do that. And people then will see. Maybe sometimes a glimpse. I think even this morning, guys, like I say to y'all who were singing, I mean, for me, that's kind of a transfiguration moment sometimes. Once in a while, when I hear your voices, and maybe people, you know, and just lifts up, and I'm standing here, and I got to tell you, sometimes I can't even get the words in my mouth sometimes that way. That's mountaintop kind of stuff sometimes. Just a glimpse, a taste, and I think, oh, can you imagine like that all the time? There's hope. And that's what I'm looking forward to. A love for Jesus and a great hope for the future. So I would tell her, hey, like I said, hey, let's listen. And let's follow this path together. Let's do this together. Let's pray. Oh, great Father, thank you. I thank you for the hope that you give us. I thank you, Lord, for the grace you extend to us in the glimpses that we can have of our future glory. And Lord, I pray that you would help us in our difficult times to not succumb to the temptation of fear or despair. But as your people, your community, your church, that we would come together as one in you. And show the world a place where no one is hungry or suffering or alone. But we are in you, with you, together. Help us this week. Open our eyes to your working. Forgive us, Lord, even now for our mistakes that we're bound to make. I pray we live in your grace and in your love. And help us, Lord, this week to hear you. And listen. We pray this in the name of Jesus together. Amen. Amen.